This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. In the immediate aftermath of 9/11, George W. Bush gave a speech encouraging Americans to boost the economy and, in effect, go shopping.
I ask your continued participation and confidence in the American economy. Terrorists attacked a symbol of American prosperity. They did not touch its source. America is successful because of the hard work and creativity and enterprise of our people. These were the true strengths of our economy before September 11th, and they are our strengths today.
The link the president made between American identity and consumerism intrigued photographer Brian Ulrich. He wanted to see if people were taking their patriotism to local shopping malls and big box stores. This sent Ulrich on a decade-long journey snapping pictures in stores across America. Brian Ulrich is a photographer, and his new exhibit, Retail, Thrift, and Dark Stores, is coming to North Carolina Museum of Art. He's with us now. Hello, Brian.
Hi.
Linda Doherty is the chief curator and the curator of contemporary art at the North Carolina Museum of Art. Welcome to you, Linda.
Thank you for having me.
And I encourage you to go to our website now, stateofthings.org. You can look at some of the photos from Retail, Thrift, and Dark Stores as we talk about them. Brian, how did that speech that George Bush made affect you and your desire to explore consumerism?
Well, it was really interesting in the fact that my parents grew up or were first-generation immigrants from Germany. So I grew up with all these kind of wild stories of World War II was like, as well as learning about the history of World War II and the way that it impacted this country and the culture here. So when a war kind of finally happens or this dramatic war event breaks out in my life, it seemed really interesting and kind of very surreal and strange that the reaction to it was so economically based and so much built about the rhetoric of it was so much about kind of moving into this this kind of relationship between the things we buy and how that would kind of defend ourselves or our sense of well-being.
What did you set out to do at that point?
I was really curious if that was actually happening. I'd been trying to make pictures on the street of before that of people pulling together and this kind of communal social breakdown that happened where the culture seemed to be almost grieving together. And I was trying and starting to be able to figure out ways to do that. And it was around that time that this quote came out, and I thought, well, that was really kind of interesting that it was shifting in that way. So I went to the stores to see if that was happening. And it was pretty obvious in the beginning that it, in fact, was. There was this kind of patriotic notion to the thing. But I also pretty quickly realized that that idea was a much bigger idea and that I was looking at something that was tremendously had been in effect for a long time and was coming to a head right at the beginning of the 20th century, which was this American identity in relationship to the things that we buy and the things that we need to own or not need to own.
How did you identify that? You talked about looking for whether or not the buying habits had changed, whether or not patriotism was part of that. How do you see that when people are sort of at the stores eyeing whatever it is they're about to buy?
Well, I mean, it's always a weird thing to go to a store and look at it with not for the reason of shopping, and to spend that much amount of time scrutinizing it with a camera. But what I saw there was, of course, you know, the sales, the advertising, the promotions, the things that were people buying were this kind of had this patriotic bend to them.
Yeah, there's a couple of pictures I wanted to just talk about. One, yeah. And I don't know how coincidental it is, but your eye caught it. And that is, and again, if you want to go to our website, stateofthings.org, you can see what we're talking about and kind of scroll through some of the pictures here. In the retail section, there's one that has, it's called Chicago 2002. But it's got paper towels, essentially, a stack of Marty paper towels and Scott towels. And it's awfully red, white, and blue now that I look at it. Is that kind of what you had in mind or is it at least the imagery that you had in mind?
Yeah, those were the kinds of things that I was finding. And, of course, the kind of wonderful joke or humor of the fact that this is represented, this kind of American patriotism is represented in paper towels that would be, of course, used to kind of clean up the proverbial mess. was just kind of a funny joke to me to a certain extent. But then, of course, this is actually the real thing that's happening. So it's this kind of wonderful surrealism because between the thing itself and the kind of way that I'm making the comment on it.
I don't know if there's any significance to the fact that the red stack is bigger than the blue stack or that the red stack is far more expensive as I look at the price. But anyway, I suppose that's all coincidental. Tell us how this project came to be a larger project called Copia. Tell us how this kind of grew in your mind.
Well, in my research one day, I was doing all these this research about this idea, and I came across the phrase cornucopia and started realizing that this word copia, which means abundance and plenty, would be this great title for this entire project. And I like the way that it referenced something very, very historical as well as something contemporary. As the project grew, I realized I had to kind of compartmentalize it and separated it to these chapters, if you will. Retail went from about 2001 until 2006. And after doing retail for a long time, I started wondering what actually happened to the things that people are buying. And to me, the kind of place that those things end up seemed not like the dumps or the trash heaps, but the thrift stores. And the thrift stores seem this perfect foible to retail in a sense. I also kind of was drawing on my own experience of having worked in thrift stores when I was in a young undergrad student.
And then dark.
And then thrift kind of worked from 2005 until 2007, 2008. And then in 2008, of course, I'd been thinking about this idea for a long time that this economic model that of always growth seemed very unsustainable and there had to be a kind of necessary fallback of that. So in 2008, that started to happen. I wasn't quite sure that would happen the way that it did. But in May of 2008, I started photographing these kind of empty big box stores. And I'd tried that project earlier in 2005, but I couldn't find as many stores. But in 2008, all of a sudden, everywhere.
Yeah, it's hard to miss them, right?
The research was much, much easier there. I could find these places all over the country.
Well, Linda Doherty, let's talk about this and what this exhibit, Retail, Thrift, and Dark Stores, means to North Carolina. Why bring it here and tell us what we're going to see at the North Carolina Museum of Art?
Well, one thing I think about when we're showing contemporary art at the museum, both work that we're acquiring for our collection, and we have two works by Brian in our permanent collection, as well as exhibitions, is finding contemporary art and artists who really reflect a specific moment in time. And I think this Copia project that Brian has done really perfectly captures the kind of boom and bust of the first decade of the 21st century. And I think that the story he's telling, a lot of the images were taken in the Midwest, but I think it's a story that has taken place all over the country, including North Carolina. I, for instance, when I look at Brian's images, especially the dark store series of kind of abandoned big box stores and shopping centers and shopping malls, makes me think of South Square in Durham. And I haven't been over there in a long time, but what I remember is that for a while it just sat there kind of abandoned, and I don't know what has taken its place, but it's certainly something I think we can relate to here when we look at these images.
And when you think about those dark stores taken together, Brian, I couldn't help but think of a supernova. The thing a star does before it collapses is to expand to humongous proportions and take up an awful lot of space before it ultimately collapses on itself in exhaustion and for lack of any fuel. Some of these images are great. There's a Kids R Us picture in the dark stores section that I think is fascinating. I don't know what you saw in it, but it is this expression. It has a kind of expression that is expressionless. And I think when you see Kids R Us, there's all these bright colors. When they're active retail stores, absent all the marketing, it's this expressionless, grim kind of face. It's pretty stark. Tell us about that image.
Yeah, I especially like that. The challenge with photographing all those empty stores and especially the boxes is they are boxes. They're very kind of boring spaces to actually make a very interesting picture of. So instead of trying to kind of make a very active picture, I actually embrace the flatness of them, the fact that the facade is the only thing that's designed. I loved the idea that once the sign was removed and even a little bit of advertising, the lights were turned down, then all of a sudden the spaces were revealed for what they really were, just these kind of empty, boring, rather unimaginatively designed spaces, although some of them are quite interesting in some respects. But I also liked that the retail industry called them, used those terms. That's where those terms come from, are dark stores or ghost boxes or dead malls, and they were all kind of about death and tombstones. And so I started photographing them at night with a big 8x10 camera, sometimes using a flashlight and painting the exposure in over a long time. And I was really trying to make the pictures as dramatic as possible because they're these such innocuous spaces that we drive by all the time. We don't pay attention to them. And by calling them out, they become something different, and they become hopefully something more universal.
Well, that's something I want to ask Linda about, because you, I think, quite aptly pointed out that this does capture a moment in time in American history, particularly the collapse of these big box stores, this kind of retailing. And yet, as Brian points out, it is part of a continuum. And I think about the first image in the collection, at least online, of dark stores with this giant yes scrawled across the window and then this empty dark mall behind it. This kind of American optimism has finally met, you know, has finally kind of reckoned with its future. It's kind of an amazing image to think about, not a moment in time, but American history and its future. Linda?
Yes, that's one of my favorite images too, because it's so like positive and exuberant, and then you realize there's nothing behind it. And the other one of my favorite ones is over 100 years. I think it's an empty furniture store. Is that right, Brian?
Yeah.
And so you see this, and it's kind of ironic and funny, but also sad, because here's this furniture store that had been in business for over 100 years, and now it's gone.
Well, we've talked about retail and dark stores, the kind of the beginning and end of the story. The middle is thrift. Tell us about that and your experience, Brian, in photographing these stores and the people in them.
Thrift was a really kind of different way of making the pictures than I had. The retail pictures were mostly done very candidly. And when I started photographing in the thrift stores, I would call them up to see if I would get access, and they completely would understand why I would want to go there and photograph. They kind of completely get the idea that they're buried in this plight of having to deal with all the donation items that come from upper and middle class. So they would say, oh, yeah, you should come Tuesday because the pile of donation is out the back door. We actually can't close the garage. So it kind of made sense. And as a result of that, I was spending a lot of time in the stores and getting to know the people who worked there. And I thought it would be more interesting to look at the people who are kind of left with the burden of having to make decisions about what things had value anymore, what didn't. And they were in some cases community service volunteers, or they were working off a petty crime, or they were working off some other thing where they were doing a volunteer. But some of them were even activists, where they were taking this job as a way to try to solve or help with the environmental problems. So those people kind of became very important, and I decided to make the portraits as such, as and kind of work in a language that was much more formal and much more in relationship to classical portraiture.
Yeah, the one that stands out for me is a woman who is apparently a minister, who's, I think, sort of at the checkout stand with a real look of determination and mission on her face, I'd say.
She's there to keep us in line. She is there
that.
To.
Yeah. But did you meet? Now, it was tough. We should talk about taking these photos because, again, in most cases, stores had policies against it, so you had to kind of do it secretly. Is that right?
In the retail ones, yeah.
Did you get to know? So I'm guessing you didn't stop and talk to many of the people you photographed in the retail section, or did you?
Not really at all, because it was just the kind of picture I was trying to make didn't really lend itself to that kind of relationship with the subjects in the picture.
How about in thrift, where you had more permission and you're obviously taking portraits? Did you get to know, for instance, our friend the minister here?
People tell me their stories a little bit, You know, it's kind of a fun and interesting and complex thing making a portrait of somebody in that way. Like, I'm often working on another picture, but out of the corner of my eye, watching what somebody's doing so I can have them kind of perform the thing that I saw them doing minutes ago. So it feels very natural and not very posed. And it's the thing that caused me to recognize them in the first place. So I would hear a little bit about, you know, their lives or what they're doing there or how or why they're there. And in some cases, again, the most often excuse or discussion was based around, you know, the gamut of things. A lot of the stores are actually suffering because they can't keep up with the donations.
You have a giant pile of sneakers that seems to be swallowing up the store in a way.
Yeah, in that case, those are actually all kind of knockoff Nike shoes. They were fakes, like kind of Canal Street style in New York City. And that store is actually, and quite a few of the stores are trying to come up with ways to compete with the super cheap big box stores. Mm-hmm. You know, why buy a used T-shirt when you can buy a box of six for $7, mm-hmm. you know, and so on.
Linda, what did you take away?
This is a strategy.
Yeah, what did you take away from the thrift? What were some of the images that really struck you in the thrift section?
I kind of go back and forth between really liking the portraits. There's one of a young woman who's kind of surrounded by piles of clothing. I really love that one. And then I love the one, it's a close-up of a bookshelf. And what you really look at is this kind of color and pattern. It almost becomes like an abstract image, the way Brian's cropped the
A lot of them are fairly dismal, but that one's really pretty. That mm-hmm. one, that one kind of catches the eye. Yeah, and going back to retail, and I guess talking about the shoes, those stacks of, you know, sort of trying to compete for low-price sneakers, if you go to retail, there's a wonderful shot of a kind of a goth young lady sitting at a shoe store getting these really stylish shoes. And that's the image that brings home this kind of this confluence of identity and consumerism. The thing I buy is the thing I am in this particular culture. I don't know if that's what was going through your mind, but boy, that's what I see in that one. Brian?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, she was just amazing in that she's so kind of young and cute, but trying so hard to be punk rock and tough. And then so wrapped up in the machine of the thing, which has completely co-opted the identity that she's kind of using to rebel against things. What's nice about that picture in relation to the one that Linda just mentioned of the girl in the thrift store, who's kind of the Madonna of the piles there, I really saw that girl who was in a thrift store in Seattle, Washington, as the kind of right age to be that same girl from the thrift store in Edinburgh, UK, with the shoes. They kind of each had this kind of goth punk rock thing. And I thought it'd be fun to kind of see if I could find that kind of character in each chapter of the project.
The saddest picture for me is in the retail section, and it's one that puts the dis in Disneyland. It's dismal land. I mean, it's a little girl surrounded by Disney characters, stuffed Disney characters, and then this really kind of scary looking fairyland, you know, the castle that's iconic for Disneyland in the background. Now, did you touch that one up because it's all purple and really, really scary looking?
I don't really do much more than try to make them look as if they would appear when you're there. Especially in the retail section. And that is actually a feat in itself because of, you know, I'm mostly photographing with film and the light's quite horrible and so on. But, you know, I love that picture as in the fact that it describes how image functions, not just image in a photograph, but image of the store. Mm-hmm. This giant display of Pooh Bears. And I often kind of use that as almost in a lesson plan when I'm teaching, where I'll talk about the fact that, you know, no one can reach the things that are so up high. So then why, in fact, are they there? They're there just to, again, appear as image, which is kind of Disney's whole thing.
It's a great
relationship
exhibit
to that girl.
And I want to thank all of you for being on the program, both of you. Brian Ulrich, photographer, new exhibit, Retail Thrift and Dark Stores, coming to the North Carolina Museum of Art. Linda Doherty is chief curator and curator of contemporary art at the North Carolina Museum of Art. He's going to be part of a gallery talk at the museum this Friday. Exhibit opens Monday. And to find out more, you can go to our website, stateofthings.org. Brian, Linda, thank you for being on the program.
Thanks so much.
Coming up next, ways to fight domestic violence. On the State of Things, please stay tuned.